Let's go ahead and get into it, if you will. Matthew 16, would you go back there with me? Matthew 16, and I thank you for coming, bringing your Bibles. I hope ready to hear the Word of God, and I try and hope to be a blessing to you this morning. But a wonderful opportunity to start our week out right in the house of God. And I thank you for being here. Matthew 16, we've been going through the last few weeks and looking at how Jesus Christ is going to build His church. And I'm so thankful for that, and I know you are as well. Sometimes we take a lot of that and put it on ourselves and say, well, I've got to do this, this, and that. Sometimes we don't have to. If we know our Bibles, we can give a lot of that to the Lord, and He'll take that from us, that burden and that pressure. But notice here again, Matthew 16 in verse 18, He says again, I will build My church. I will do the building. We went through all most of this chapter already and looking at a couple portions. I want to pick up in verse 24 though, if you will. Verse 24, He continues, then said Jesus unto His disciples, if any man, notice, will come after Me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow Me. And whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for My sake shall find it. For what is a man profited? Notice this. If he shall gain the whole world. You ever heard these verses before? They're powerful. And lose his own soul, or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of His Father with His angels, and then He shall reward every man according to his works. Verily I say unto you, there shall be some standing here which shall not taste of death till he see the Son of Man coming in His kingdom. Now this latter portion of the chapter, and this morning I want to talk a little bit about discipleship. The church that Jesus builds and is building is a church full of disciples. Now, you know this, but a disciple is simply a student or a pupil. He sits at the feet of his teacher and he learns, or she learns. And Jesus makes it a point for the first time in the gospel talking about this discipleship, being a disciple. Verse 24, He said unto His disciples. Now, just to clarify, again, you may know this, you may not, but there's a difference between an apostle and a disciple. There's some today that call themselves apostles. Well, that's not actual scripturally accurate. There was the end of the apostolic era, we call it, about 98 AD, the end of the first century, with the passing of the apostle John. John was the youngest of the apostles, and so obviously he died last. And so there's an end to that. Now, the apostles had certain gifts and things that they had from Jesus directly. They had gifts to heal. They had gifts of other things that they would do. We won't go through the list of all of them, but they were special. They were directly commissioned by Jesus Himself, physical Jesus, right? That's the apostle. Now, we are disciples, okay? We are the students. When Jesus talks to disciples, there were people there. Now, we understand that there were several hundred people that were following Jesus constantly. As you recall, many times the press, if you will, was around Him. He was like a celebrity, obviously, and they all wanted a piece of Jesus. And one time He said, who touched Me? And the disciples said, Lord, everyone's touching You. What do You mean, who touched You? He said, no, somebody touched Me by faith. Anyways, that's the kind of thing. There was all these people following. By the way, just a few chapters, well, I should say about a handful chapters later here in Matthew, it says they all forsook Him and what? Fled. Where were all these people? Where were the disciples when He was hanging on the cross? Where were they? They all forsook. You ever been that way? You got all these people that pat you on the back and tell you that you're best friends and everything, and then where are they when the rubber meets the road? And so Jesus makes it a point to say, listen, you got to take up your cross daily and follow Me. But discipleship, we sit at the feet of the teacher. I'm reminded of the story of the little boy in first grade, and the teacher said, I want you all to take out a crown and some paper, and I want you to draw a picture of your favorite person. And they got excited. Okay. They started drawing, and about 15 minutes later, she said, okay, everyone stop. Okay, let's see it. Hold up your papers. They all held up their papers. Some of you are teachers. You know how that goes. They held up a paper, and the first little girl over here said, you know, here it is, and this is my grandma. Oh, that's great. Little stick figure, you know. The other little boy next to her held up a picture, and he said, this is my grandpappy. The little stick figure with the hat on, you know. And the little Johnny in the back, man, he's just waving his arm. Hey, hey. And the teacher said, okay, 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 let's see what you got. He held it up, He said, this is a picture of God. Little boy next to him said, we don't know what God looks like. No one's ever seen him. He says, now we do. Now we do. I like that, don't you? That confidence. We sit at the feet of a teacher. I just want to encourage you this morning. The church is full of disciples. We're all learning together. And if you figured out and believe that you know everything, you're in a mess because you don't. And notice what he says here this morning. He says, if any man, now you know that. When the Bible says man in that regard, in that context, it's neutral. It doesn't mean men only. It means anybody. If any man will come after me. Notice Jesus is, first of all, leading the way. Leading the way. The clear indication throughout Scripture is that Jesus is in charge. He's leading the way. The book of Proverbs is repeated that. Humble yourself. The humble shall be lifted up. All of that. What is it saying? We follow Christ. Now, Christ does not put a thumb over us. Christ does not hang the proverbial carrot in front of us so we can try and get it. Oh, you almost got it. You almost got it. No. He helps us and loves us and guides us so that we can be more Christ-like. Notice this. If you will come after me, there's a love for the Master. There's a love for the Master. As you know this truly, that God does not desire for us to be some kind of slave. We are His servant. And He says this, ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I've commanded you to do. Not commanded so that what? He can make our lives a living nightmare. No. We follow Him for our benefit. Our benefit. That's a wonderful, amazing thing about our religion, if you want to call it that. One of the most fascinating things about Christianity that people don't think about is that our supreme God, our monotheistic God, lives inside of us. The Holy Spirit. I don't think any other religion in the world has that. They have gods that maybe live inside of them, but our God, Supreme Creator God, lives inside of us. At the moment of salvation, we believe biblically, the Holy Spirit comes in and indwells us. We're not changed overnight. We still have problems and addictions and different issues, but it takes time called transformation. But He lives inside of us, helping us. Anyways, now notice this. He says, any man come after me. Come after me. Follow me. Let him deny himself. One, a denial of self. That's hard to do, isn't it? Boy, that's hard to do. Oh, I was just thinking about that. Oh, we have so many things in our lives, don't we, that we try to deny ourselves with. My wife put out a little bowl of, I think it was peanut M&Ms. Amen to those, right? Amen to those. Those are great. Little bowl, she got those bags, you know, they come in a bag now with a little zip thing on the top. Remember? That's great. And she poured it out in a bowl, set it on the counter. You know, she puts it out for decor or whatever. You know, that looks nice, doesn't it? And I'm just staring at them. And I took a little bit and I took a little bit. And then the kids came along and I handed them a couple and took, and the bowl was gone. And that wasn't a good day. She wasn't happy with that. Where'd they all go? We need to deny ourselves. I'm being silly, but you understand. He says, truly, deny himself. We don't do that. Now, some people think, well, I get saved and all my problems go away. Actually, it's only just begun. Man, it's just beginning. And you got now not only do you got to deal with people at work and you got to deal with your spouse, you got to deal with your kids. Now you got to deal with the spiritual warfare now, don't you? Now the adversary's after you. Now he's after you. And you got to work through these things. But again, the Holy Spirit helps us. He says, deny himself, put yourself aside and lift up Christ. And then he says, notice, take up his cross. You want to underline that in your Bible, his cross, and follow me. In the book of Luke, he puts it this way, take up his cross daily, daily. Every morning starts new. Every morning, if you're alive and breathing, I think you are, you've been given another day of life. Amen. Oh, thank God. Thank God for that. Thank God. Some of you know that, dealing with sometimes tragedies and deaths. Our brother has to deal with some of that often. And you think about the frailty of life, don't you, that is around us. He says, now, listen, fellas, if you'll deny yourself, first, if you have a desire to come after me, you must deny yourself. You then take up your cross and follow me. Now, what is our cross today that we bear? Well, our cross could be persecution. Our cross could be the abandonment of friends and family for following Christ. Some of you have lost friends. Some of you have lost family members by way of following Christ. And they say, well, I don't want to deal with that. I don't want to be around that kind of stuff. it's judgmental, it's hypocritical, it's pharisaical. And those people that say that, they've never opened this book up and read it. By the way, if you've never read this book cover to cover, I know it's big and it's thick. It's 66 books contained in one volume. If you've never read this book, you're doing yourself a disservice. You deserve, even if you don't believe, you deserve to read this through once in your lifetime. Once. How many books and things have you read? Instruction manuals and things for your workplace have you had to read? And you haven't read this? You can make time. You can make time. And I just want to encourage you with that. It would greatly benefit you to take time and just read through this book at least once in your life. The average person lives to be about 75 years old. You have 75, well, no, you start reading when? Maybe not that. Let's say you have 50 years to read this book. I would encourage you to do so. Anyways, notice this. Take up your cross and follow me. Now, by the way, when we follow Christ, it is not this happy, clappy, we all love Jesus type of thing that was promoted in the 60s and 70s, okay? It is a cross to bear. It is hard to follow Christ. Some of you know that. It's hard. It's difficult. Oh, but it's rewarding. Oh, isn't it? Oh, it's rewarding. People think when we follow Christ, we're persecuted people. We go and lay our head on our pillows at night and we just weep and cry and it's so hard. No, we don't. We're joyful, aren't we? We're full of joy. Joy unspeakable, Paul says, and full of glory. Can't even express it. But we see this. Now notice the love for the master. Verse 25, for whosoever will save his life shall lose it. Now this is the direct opposite of the world. What's the world say? If you will, what? Save your life, if you will keep your life. By the way, I want to encourage you again. When you see people driving around in these fancy vehicles, big houses, got all this, and you go, man, I don't have it together like they do, you know. Man, I wish I was like that. Don't forget. That is their reward. They already have it. Now, if you drive a nice car and have a nice house, I'm not saying that, but you understand. These celebrities, these famous people, these people that you may live around that, you know, huff and puff around and they think they're the greatest thing since sliced Wonder Bread. They're not. What? They have their reward, and that's what Jesus said. We have our reward waiting for us. He says, where what? Moth and rust doth not corrupt, nor thieves break through and steal it. Nobody can take it. And we saw that last week with Peter. Peter said it is what? Incorruptible, undefiled, and fadeth not away. That's what's waiting for us. Amen? I like that because I'm broke as a joke. I'm so excited. Praise God. I like the bumper sticker. Have you seen it? I saw it the other, it was probably a year ago or so. And this old, nasty, ratty car rusted out. And the bumper sticker said, don't let this fool you. My treasure's in heaven. Amen. I like that. I need one of those. But you think about it. Notice, whosoever save his life. This is my life. Keep it. Preserve it. Oh, protect it. People driving around with a mask in the car alone. Nothing wrong with that, but I just, you know, you think about that. They're trying to what? Preserve their their life is precious. They have nothing else. I heard an interview just recently, and Larry King was interviewing a man by the name of Stan Lee. You know him, some of you. He was a famous comic book, really one of the originators. And he came up with all of those Marvel superheroes and stuff like that, I believe. I may be mistaken on some of that, but he was very famous. He was now, I think, in his 80s, and Larry King was interviewing him and said, do you believe there's life after death? And he said, no, I don't. And he said, but this thing scares me the most, or bothers me the most, I think he said. And Larry King said, what is that? He said, what bothers me the most is that when I die, that's it. That's it. I die, they put me in the ground, that's it. My life ceases. He says, I cannot wrap my mind around that. You got to look it up. You can find it real easily, that interview. I cannot wrap my mind. That bothers me the most. Isn't that sad how some people live? They say that's it. That's all we have. That's it. And that's the world's mentality today. Keep and save my life. Why? Because it's all I have. But notice what Jesus says. Whosoever will lose, verse 25, his life for my sake shall find it. Now, he's not saying particularly that we die. What's he saying? We lose our life. We deny ourselves. We take up our cross. Tim, didn't you have great ambitions? Yeah. Didn't you want to be this, this, and yeah, I did. Didn't you want to do? Yeah, but what? I want to serve Christ first and foremost. One of the biggest misconceptions about giving your life to Christ is that He will take all of your dreams, all of your talents, all of your great qualities, all of your education, everything that you've done, and put it out, throw it out the door so you can serve Him. That's not true. He takes all of that and enhances it for His glory. You have a special skill that you do, computers or architecture or engineering, or you work well with your hands, whatever it is. God wants to take and use those things. He didn't let you go through all of that training for nothing. He wants to use it for His glory. But what are we doing? Now, let me hasten here. Verse 26, for what is a man profited? Notice this. Not only our love for the Master, now notice the comparison. Why would we serve Christ? Why do we follow Him? What is a man profited? You know what the world goes after is profit. If, what? He shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul. What shall a man give in exchange for his soul? It fascinates me, but some of the wealthiest, most intelligent people, they found this verse to be true. Just, you know, maybe a handful of years ago, a man who was very wealthy, very famous, very popular, had three or four homes, Malibu, Cancun, wherever else, could have anybody he wanted, had multiple, garage full of cars. I mean, you go down the list, all these things, and he put a belt around his neck. Doesn't that bring to light verse 26? What is a man? You know what they do? They found out when you have all the money and all the fame and all the riches and fortune, it ain't enough. You're still empty. You've had all the women. You've had all the money. You've had everything. Every drug, every car, every house, every piece of clothing, every nice pair of shoes. And what happened? They're empty inside. I guess money don't buy everything. What is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world? Does it interest you? I don't know what interests me. The two, I think, wealthiest men in the planet, both of them are trying to get to space. Isn't that weird? I don't know why that bothers me. I wonder why. I believe they're trying to find out what's out there because they have everything. And they have the whole world in their hands. And they go, this is it? I have the whole world in my hand. I have everything that I could ever want that these poor peasant people are lusting after every day and working towards to get just a little more money. And he says, I have all of it. And yet, there's got to be something else out there. Out there. I'm so thankful. But notice this. What is a man profited? We go after profit daily. You and I must work so we can feed our families. You and I work so that we can contribute to society and other things. We could go down the list. But I want to encourage you this morning with this. Make sure your profit's in the right place. Make sure your gain is in the right place. Yeah, your bank account may be in the negative. You may be in the red, okay? Whatever the case may be. It may not be that, but you may be in other areas where you're not profiting very well in relationships or other things. I want to encourage you to get focused and say, God, I want my profit to be in You. My gain to be in You. And you may not have much, and people may not like you, and you may be going through a difficult season right now, but I want to encourage you with this again. Get to where you're in profit and gain with God. God, I want to gain with You. I want You to be pleased with me. Please Him. There is a man in the Old Testament, all the way back, by the name of Enoch. And Enoch was a very spiritual man. The Bible says that the Lord came and took him, but he had a testimony in Hebrews 11. He had a four-word testimony, that he pleased God. That was his testimony, his entire testimony, that he pleased God. Very simple, but he just pleased God. Everything that he did, he pleased God. What was he doing? He was laying up treasure in heaven. He wasn't profiting here. Now let me move ahead. Verse 27, notice, for the Son of Man shall come in the glory of His Father with His angels. We know that. He's coming. He shall reward every man according to his works. There is no respect of persons with God. There may be somebody in your life growing up, a spiritual leader that told you he was better than you, a spiritual leader that she told you she was better than your kids, whatever the case is, and you're not spiritual enough, you're not good enough, blah, 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 blah. The ground is level at the cross. I'm thankful for that. But there's no respect of persons with God. You come to Christ and you say, Christ, Jesus, I don't know all about You. I don't know what I'm supposed to say, but I know this. I want to believe in You, and I want You to save me, and I want to go to the afterlife with You. I want to be with You. I believe You died on the cross for my sins. I believe that You rose again the third day. And again, I want to help you with that. Investigate those things. You deserve it. You deserve it yourself to investigate all of those claims that He rose again the third day. I believe in that, Lord, and I want You to take my life and let it be. Notice this, though. Let me hurry here and wrap up these last 2 points. We must bear our cross. We must deny ourselves. Galatians 2:20, Paul says, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. In the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me, gave himself for me. I live for him. Romans 12, he puts it a different way. He says, it's a reasonable service to serve Christ. It's meaning it's the least we can do. If he died for us, it's the least we could do. I gave an illustration several years ago to the little kids, the youth group, and I said to the kids, I said, now, there's a real rowdy kid on the front row, and I said, now, this little guy, I said, now, what if I came this morning and I gave you threw you some keys, and they're nice keys with the key fob and everything, and he said, what's this? And I say, well, I got you a brand new cherry candy red Corvette outside. He said, wow, thanks. That's great. And he went off and did his thing, and whatever the case, couldn't even drive, but that's a bad illustration. Anyways, they liked it. And I said, I came back the next day, and I said, hey, little Billy, could I borrow 20 bucks? Not right now. Well, I just need 20. Okay, could you give me 10 bucks? I just need a little money to get some lunch today. He said, nah, not right now, not really. And they all went, oh, that's messed up. That's mean. Isn't that what we do to the Lord, though? He died for our sins, did everything for us. And then he comes to say, Tim, could you do this for me? Lord, not right now, I'm busy. Could you serve me a little bit better? Not right now, Lord, I'm busy. Could you follow me? No, I'm not right now, Lord, I can't do it. We do that so often, I do that. I'm preaching to myself here. To think about, when God says, I came for you and what I've done for you, and by the way, I said last week, but God doesn't ask very much from us. I mean, honestly, folks, we're here 45, 50 minutes on Sunday morning. Some of you come back Sunday night. Some of you come Wednesday night. Honestly, come on. We could do a little more. You may have read your Bible every day this week. That's great. You may not have. You may have spent 5, 6 minutes in prayer every day this week. I don't know. I don't know what your schedule is, but come on now. Seriously, we could do more. Can't we? Can't we? Can't we? Jesus Christ says, listen, what is a man profited? A church that I'm going to build is a church full of disciples that are willing, not so-called disciples, because there were some that followed Christ that were wannabe disciples. When he preached and gave them bread and gave them fish and healed their little baby girl. Oh, we love you, Lord. Where were they at the cross? Where were they when the rubber met the road? Where were they? They were would-be. They were wannabes, fakes, frauds. He says, I want real disciples to follow me. Those that will what? Deny self, take up cross, and follow me. Those are the keys. Come after me. Notice this. We come through Christ. We come to him. Notice we must then surrender for the master. We surrender our position. Discipleship and disciples submit to the master. You know that. Discipline is the root word, if you will, in this. And we must be disciplined. We must follow him with discipline. We must be soldiers of the cross. We're not called to be anything else but a servant and a soldier following him. He says, my church, I will build it. I will build it. But it's people that are submitted and surrendered. My friends, one day we believe here in our church, I don't know how you believe, but we believe one day Jesus Christ is going to come back. And by the way, I believe that's very soon. He's going to come back. And he says, will he find faith in this world? Will he find anybody following him? Will he find anyone following through and being faithful to him? Wouldn't it be great if he found us right here this morning? Whew! I'd be like, whew, that was a close. Glad I was here. Glad I was where I was supposed to be. You ever do that as a kid growing up? Your parents caught you there? Glad I was doing what I was supposed to be doing. And he says, will I find you where you're supposed to be? My friends, he's coming back. He's coming. And I hope you're in position. That position is surrender. That position is surrender. There's a man by the name of C.T. Studd back in the 19th century. He said, though if Jesus Christ is God and died for me, then no sacrifice can be too great for me to make for him. No sacrifice. Now again, God's not asking us to go out this morning and sell all that we have and go stand on the street corner wearing a white robe and preaching on a soapbox. He's not saying that. What's he saying? Give your life over. Lord, simple as this, Lord, what would you have me to do? Acts chapter number 9, Paul was traveling. He was a hater of the church. He persecuted the church. He did not believe in Jesus Christ. It says he was wreaking havoc of the church. He was persecuting. He was killing little babies and girls and men because they believed in Christ. And he was traveling on the road, and a bright light shone down from heaven. You know the story, I'm sure. And he looks up and he asks two questions. Number one, he says, "Who art thou, Lord?" He knew who he was. He called him Lord. And then the second question was, "What would you have me to do?" You know, a lot of Christians today ask the first question, "Who art thou, Lord? Can I accept you as my personal Savior? I'm saved." But they never ask the second question. "What do you want me to do? What do you want me to do?" It's as simple as that. "Lord, I give my life to you. I'm asking, what do you want me to do?" Okay, simple as that. "I want to follow you." Why? Because that is what the church is consisting of, the disciples of Jesus Christ. Are you a disciple this morning? You may not be, but I encourage you to stand today somewhere, maybe kneel somewhere and say, "God," simple, just to yourself, just in quietness wherever you are. "Lord, what do you want me to do? Lord, I'd like to be a disciple of yours. I don't want to be a fake and a fraud. I don't want to just, Lord, be there when everyone else is cheering. I don't want to be there when you're entering into Jerusalem and saying, 'Hosanna to the King. Oh, Hosanna, our King is coming.' And then just a few short days later, they're saying, 'Crucify him. Let his blood be upon us and our children.'" My friends, it can be that way, can't it? You today, a disciple of Christ, surrender our lives to him. Let God have your life. He can do more with it than you can. Let God have your life. You may not be a believer, but I would again encourage you, take time to study this Bible, to study the claims of the Bible, to study it for yourself, not what your teachers and friends and maybe spouse tell you. Study it for yourself, because at the judgment, you will stand for yourself, nobody else. "Well, mom and dad didn't know. My wife wouldn't know." Well, it's because, for you, isn't it? We answer for ourselves, and every man will give an account for his life. Now, I'll stop there this morning for sake of time. I appreciate you coming. But are you a disciple today? Are you truly a disciple? Say, "Lord," simply, "what would you have me to do?" Now, in that text of Acts 9, the Bible says that Jesus told Paul, or Saul at the time, "Get up and go into the city." Paul said, "Hey, wait, that's it?" Jesus gives us little steps to follow. Paul said, you don't want me to write over half the New Testament, Lord? You don't want me to be the greatest missionary to ever live?" He says, "Not yet. I'm not going to reveal that to you, because it's going to go right to your head." And you today, you ask the Lord, "Lord, what would you have me to do today?" Lord will give you something to do. Lord will give you a task to accomplish. Lord will give you a little step to follow. Here you go. Will you do that for me? Remember this as you go away today. What is a man profited if he gains the whole world, loses his own soul? The whole world. Loses his own soul. Gain the whole world and is eternally separated from God. My friends, are you a disciple of his? That's what Christ desires for each one of us. Amen. And let's pray. Father, thank you for an opportunity to share your word this morning. There's things said today that we already know. There's things that have been said that, Lord, we don't know. Maybe some don't know. But Lord, we ask that you'd help us. Help God those that may be questioning the Bible. Help others of us that do know the Bible but have neglected the Bible. Strengthen us, God, for we know not the hour nor the day when we'll breathe our last breath. And, oh, Father, we'd like to be with you forever. We want to be pleasing to you in all that we do. Help us to be that disciple. We thank you and love you, Lord.